Welcome to Rage Game Network Podcast.
Round two. Welcome to Rage Game Network Podcast. I'm Andy.
I'm Ben.
I'm Connor.
Yes, there we go.
This is the ABCs.
A, B, C, D. Yeah. Too bad we don't have Deborah. We could have had all the way to D. So now doing this the second time over because we weren't recording shit. We have a little bit of Minecraft to go over, Pokemon Go, the Steam Deck, and a little bit more D&D news and stuff like that that we kind of gone over the past couple of times we recorded. Also, happy 4th of July weekend for the Americans. And as Connor pointed out last time we were last trying to record, happy Canada Day. Their independence as well. Hey.
Yep, there's a
copycats.
Independence Day to everyone who told the Brits to fuck off.
Yeah, yeah, go fuck yourself. Found out a little crappy history about myself a little bit. Come to find out that maybe we're not 100% sure yet. In my family line, we might have had some loyalists.
For shame.
Fuckers. You assholes! What the fuck's wrong with you? Or there's another lineage that could possibly be related that started one of the towns in New York.
And maybe was both. One of the
founders. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, so that's actually kind of cool. Webster, actually, come to find out. Yeah, like, from what I understand, we've been in Webster area for almost 300 years.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, yeah, it's fucking crazy. But, continuing on. Connor, you have Witch's Betters.
I do.
Take it away.
Yeah.
All right. Which is better, Heat or Quarry?
Heat or Quarry?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Heat.
I'm also going to go with Heat, just based off the title.
Okay. I'll start with Heat. Survive the wilderness, build a home, raise a family, and extend your territory. Gain power as president, deliver justice as sheriff, fight for your tribe as chief, or show some southern hospitality as governor. Begin your new life in 19th century America. Let that set in. Yeah, good. Okay. All right. And then now we go to Corey.
So nothing like the classic movie starring Robert De Niro.
Great. Yeah.
No. Cool. No. All right. Quarry. When the sun goes down on the last night of summer camp, 9 teenage counselors are plunged into an unpredictable night of horror. The only thing worse than the blood-drenched locals and creatures haunting them are the unimaginable choices you're going to have to make to help them survive.
So these have nothing to do with what I thought they would be.
That's tough, because I feel like survival horror or just horror in general, those games can either be really good or really campy.
Or really shit, yeah.
But the other one's also giving me, like, knockoff Oregon Trail vibes / Sim City, which neither one of those are great, in my opinion.
Didn't like Oregon Trail?
They have a version out there that's called Oregon Trail, and it's a zombie version.
Oh,
it's hilarious, cool. Though.
So, just for the sake of if I'm right, I get more points, I'm going to stay with Heat.
Okay.
You bastard.
You could stay too.
Let's
take a double loss.
Fuck.
A double win.
Well, Sarah still won the bag, remember?
Yes. I guess we'll have an honorary bag.
No prize for this week's bag.
Did you hear about that?
No.
I'll tell you after this. But I'm going to switch to Corey.
You're going to switch to Corey?
I'm going
to
switch to Corey.
Final answers? Yeah.
Yeah.
Final
yeah.
answers.
Yeah. All right. You get a point.
Yeah. All right. Yes. You get a point, though, too.
I do, but I was hoping for the double pointer.
You ruined it.
I'm sorry. I'll let you have it next time. Actually, I can't pick for him, so you're kind of fucked.
All right, so next we have Riftbreaker or Reign of Kings.
Riftbreaker or Reign of Kings.
I'll go Reign of Kings to start.
Okay.
Riftbreaker.
Okay. Riftbreaker is a base-building survival game with action RPG elements. You're an elite scientist-slash-commando inside an advanced mecha suit capable of dimensional rift travel. Hack and slash countless enemies, build up your base, collect samples, and research new inventions to survive.
Eh.
Then we have Reign of Kings. Struggle to survive in a harsh medieval world. Hunt wildlife, mine resources, build structures, and craft weapons and armor in order to protect yourself. You may form a guild, bring war to all opposition, and try to seize the throne and become king.
Oh. I mean, they both actually sound decent from the description, which is kind of interesting.
I hate to say it, but I think Riftbreaker's got too many things going on, but I don't want to lose those 2 points.
So you staying?
Gonna stay.
I'm also gonna stay.
Son of a bitch. So there's the definite winner and a definite loser.
Yeah.
Is there?
I mean, we can't both be wrong because you only gave us two choices.
Wait so. A minute. No, that's a three-way tie. No. If I win, that's 3 points for me and 2 points for him.
What did you stay on?
Riftbreaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the winner.
Yes!
All right, so you get 3 points. He's got 2 points. I got no points.
Yep. Right. Ben gets the bag. Holy shit. Actually, you're pretty good at picking, though. That's. Shut up, phone!
See, I leave my. I even leave Vibrate off. So if people want to get a hold of me, like.
They ain't going to get a hold of me.
They ain't going to get a hold of me.
That's what happens with me. It's on yeah. silent.
Yeah, exactly. It's silent. See, I think my mom is the only person who can call, and I have her set to go through.
Okay.
But otherwise, it's like.
Oh, you got to just not disturb.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah, I go full do not disturb. Like.
Yeah.
No one's coming through.
No one's coming through unless it's an absolute fucking emergency.
Yeah, yeah. I think you've got to go like twice back to back to reach me.
Yes. Because
then after that, okay,
they'll go through. Yeah.
So like, unless somebody dying, I ain't gonna know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only time I call someone twice is if it's an emergency.
Yeah.
Like I'm just like, answer your damn phone.
Right. No. Right.
So the story with the bag of shame for Connor was last time. One of the last times I was here and you were not. Is I brought a surprise actual bag of shame, and inside was the flaming hot Mountain Dew. And Andy actually enjoyed it.
Enjoyed the flaming hot Mountain Dew?
It tasted like somebody put a touch, like a touch of red pepper flakes in the regular Mountain Dew.
Yeah, it was like red pepper Mountain Dew, because I had bought one for myself and tried it before. I was like, yeah. So imagine Mountain Dew, but instead of like the normal, I guess, air quotes, normal flavors that they do for it, is if it was just red pepper flavored.
I had it. It has a good flavor at first, but then it just has like that burning sensation right after. And it's not that it's annoying, but it's just not what I want when I'm drinking something like that. No,
you want your thirst quenched. However, I think it's Dollar General over here sells a Maui Mountain Dew, which is
one of the new ones that just came out.
Yeah. There's the gold and the orange one.
Yeah.
Well, yes, but there was a Maui, which was a pineapple flavor before the Baja Gold.
Oh, all right.
It's the
same. I almost bought a 12-pack of that Baja Gold today.
I didn't. It's fantastic. It's the same fucking thing. Either way, they just renamed it.
That's fair.
But really, really fucking good. It's like super thirst quenching. And honestly, like, I let my buddy Kevin, shout out Kevin, which he doesn't listen, but hey, whatever. When he decides to listen to it, I let him try it, and he's like, dude, this is like the Fanta stuff.
Nice.
He's like, this is almost right on point. And he's like, this is fantastic. So, yeah. So.
You want some news?
Yeah, let's do some news.
Game of the week.
Oh, game of the week.
Oh, yeah, game of the week. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's all right.
Taking your thunder.
This is my spotlight time. Don't take it away.
This is why we need YouTube shit.
YouTube shit? Yeah, oh, so you can see?
So everybody can see our reactions and shit.
So the game of the week that I picked out is Talespire. Have either of you heard about this?
I think I've heard of Talespire. Sounds
familiar? Yeah. But tell us about it.
It's a beautiful way to play pen and paper RPGs online. Bring your stories to life and embark upon campaigns together with your friends, regardless of where you are in the world.
Nice.
And yeah, if you see... Where's the video? That's screenshots. I don't know what else I can see besides you guys, but
well, will be you know second, where but. They could see it is if you put it in our Discord.
This is true.
Oh, they can check it out there.
Yes.
Put a link into our Discord.
Here, let me. Yeah.
Oh, dude! Yes.
So I'm guessing someone actually controls, but like it does the different animations. You move around. It looks like pieces. Oh, you're moving around with it.
God, ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
That looks pretty dope.
It's got right? the miniatures like you would for D&D, and it's, wow.
Oh, yeah, you definitely got to throw a link to this.
Yeah, I stumbled upon this by accident, channel. And yep. Then I was just like, I know if I put this in the game, they're going to pick it because it sounds fantastic. You know, it is overwhelmingly positive.
Why?
Yeah, okay, so that's how you do it. That's how you do all the building. All
right, so it's like
so you can actually build up your
like a Minecraft build mode,
yeah.
So that you can,
but that's how you actually, you make all the sets and everything, and then your players come through and you play.
No,
and you
that
can actually,
dope.
That's fucking awesome.
That might actually sell me on doing like a digital D&D style campaign because I've tried Roll20. I was not a huge fan of their interface. I've tried doing just video chat. Sessions,
yeah.
And we all did. I think it was through like a Facebook, like just group chat.
Yeah,
and it's just not the same without people together. But something like that,
right?
Yeah, perfect. That'd be great.
That looks
do that
fucking
with,
awesome.
Like, some Discord voice chat.
Hell yeah,
yeah. That's
that's a great pick.
I have a D20. Sorry. Dimension 20's Unsleeping City. You would love it. It's 2-hour sessions. Obviously, it's like story, you know.
Yeah.
They're doing it like a live podcast, but they're also recording it for television and shit too. But dude, I think that's where Brendan definitely hits off real good.
Speaking of Dimension 20, and we can talk about this a little later with D&D stuff. I did finish the rest of Exandria Unlimited Calamity that Brendan was DMing for the Critical Role group, and oh my gosh, fantastic. It's, I think for people who are more fan of like the more D&D side of things, like the dice rolling and stuff like that, that you're used to with Dimension 20 and Critical Role and other stuff like that. There's a lot less of this in this campaign, and it is far more cooperative storytelling.
Yes.
And so if you are someone who's not a D&D fan but loves high fantasy, I would definitely be like, yo, check out that miniseries. And like we talked about a bit last time, Brendan Lee Mulligan's like DM and storyteller chops phenomenal. Fuck yeah. Like, I can't. Like,
so you watched it, right?
Yes.
Do you see the button he was wearing that said 3BH on it?
Yes. Yep.
It's the three black halflings. Yes.
I finally listened to another one of their episodes the other day. It was one of their more recent ones where we're talking about their kind of gripes with the warlock class.
Yeah.
And how they might change that. And it looks like, honestly, there seems to be, we can talk about this with more D&D stuff. Looks like warlocks might need to get some changes based on things that we've seen in the new book, The Monsters of the Multiverse,
yeah,
and possible changes related to that to when we get 5.5 in the next year and a half.
Yeah. But they always have good information when it comes to talking about source books and stuff like that. What was the other thing? Their deep dives on what's it called? Classes.
Yeah.
Which might as well just go into our D&D subject here, because the Monsters of the Multiverse has done away with... I tried to explain it, and I suck at doing it, but you were doing a great job while we were off air.
Yeah, when we spoke last time about it, I was like, oh, you know, if you already have Volos and Mordekainens, you don't really need to buy this. I was completely wrong. I watched a video looking at the changes, not expecting as much. It was like an hour deep dive, and I believe I did post it in the Discord. And it goes through all the changes for the character races, and I thought it was just, oh, they changed the lore to, like, remove casual racism, and then they gave everybody the Tasha's, you know, choices of +2, +1. It's way more than that. They revamped some of the character features in terms of what you get for not for proficiencies and things like that.
Yeah, like the Genasi some of the, got some serious yeah,
now
changes.
The biggest thing is they eliminated sub-races, so each version of Genasi is, like, now their own race. Yeah. And, like, the sub races for, like, elves and dwarves and all that, they've all been separated, and they feel a bit more each their own, as opposed to being sub races of, like, oh, all elves share a lot of this commonality, all Genasi share this, all dwarves share that, and they do have some of those traits that factor in between, but they definitely did a great job at revamping that. Plus, it gets all the other things for monsters that have been redone, revamped, and they've even, like, D&D Beyond, now that they're owned by Wizards, they list all the old content version of those now as legacy content. So it's a great buy if you already have those books. If you don't already have those other previous books, this is just for $50 as opposed to spending, you know, $100, $120 on multiple books.
Right.
Especially if you're just getting started, I might buy that. I'd go for that over Tasha's. Like, if you can only buy the Player's Handbook, the DMG, and one other book, I would even say grab that instead of the Monster Manual.
Yo, yeah, fuck the Monster Manual. Like, because
most of your campaign things will have some monsters in it already.
Yeah, and it'll all be pre-rolled and shit like that. One of the big things that we're seeing with Mordekainen's Monsters of the Multiverse here is we're seeing the beginning stages, if you will, of 5.5, what it looks like.
Yeah.
This is going to be, I'm not going to say it's going to be a totally different beast, but we're going to see a slow phase into 5.5, and then eventually once 5.5 gets released, it's going to be like, oh, well, this equates to the books, and the books that we have in 5 are going to be, you know, forwards compatible, whereas, you know, all of the 5.5 stuff will be backwards compatible to the 5e stuff. So, in other words, there's some things that will be phased out, like you were saying, Volos, and what was the other one again?
Mordekainen's Tomophos.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll see some of those stuff phased out.
We saw might that even... with Sword Coast when Tasha's got release that they reprinted, and that's been all essentially all phased out.
Yeah.
And the only thing that book's kind of good for is some of the Sword Course lore.
Yeah, I'll even go as far back as Tasha's. Tasha's is like one of the beginning stages of this. We're seeing no longer race decided ability scores and stuff.
Yep. We're also seeing less dependency on certain things in terms of your individual stats, because a lot of things for some of the classes used to be based on your primary casting ability, and everything from Tasha's forward so far is based off your proficiency bonus, so there's less focus on having to level up those scores because proficiency bonus auto levels up.
Sorry about the lawnmower. My neighbor decides to mow their lawn like 3 times a fucking week, and that's like no joke. So if you hear a lawnmower in the background, I am very sorry. I can't control the assholes next door. So continuing on.
The other interesting thing I think I touched on was in terms of things they're phasing out. You're seeing less things that are based on you can get them back on a short rest.
Yes.
And it's now just X amount of times per day or per long rest.
Right.
Which is going to be interesting, because if they're phasing out things like the short rest mechanic, that has huge implications, particularly for the Warlock class and the Fighter class that get most of their specialty things backed on a short rest.
Right.
But from a number of like polls that I've seen from DMs, some on Reddit, I don't know if any of them were like official channels or just unofficial channels, but it seems like a lot of parties don't use that short rest mechanic.
We kind of use a short rest mechanic like, okay, in the case of like we're hanging out at the bar and we're waiting for something, I'll be like, can we count that as a short rest?
Yeah.
And I mean, for any player out there, a short rest, if you've done any amount of battle and DM's like, nah, you can't take a long rest, but you have a time for a short rest, fucking take it.
Yeah, and I think that also kind of depends on how kind of strict you are in terms of the mechanics of what you're doing for, like, the survivability. Like, I'm not super strict on, like, all right, you guys need to make sure you have rations or forage for food.
Right.
You know, I'm not super strict on that. But if you are, then you're more likely to use that short rest mechanic, or even just in general, like, consider, like, throughout the adventuring day, like, just a normal person, like, you need a meal break. You need to stop right for an hour or something, make food, sit down, whether that is from fighting, from adventuring, you know. Your normal work day, you get a period to just sit and, I mean, you should. If your employer's not doing that, like, PSA to do that.
Yeah, but you get a 30 minute lunch break. You know that after 6 hours, right?
Yeah. So like things like that, and I try to encourage that, because a lot of times people are like, oh, all right, well, we did all this stuff, we can't really do anything. Let's just like chill for the next little bit, and then fast forward to nighttime. That day, take some short rest. But if they are like eliminating that mechanic, that makes things very weird for those classes that rely on that. Because like Warlock would need to be completely redone.
They
can't exist the way they are without short rest.
Just RP wise though, as short rest goes, that is good storytelling time.
Yeah.
That is beautiful storytelling. An hour. It takes an hour for a podcast. For our podcast at least. Come on.
Look at how much we cover in that.
We cover quite a bit in, you know, 2 half-an-hour snip bits.
Yeah.
Okay?
Especially you figure you're a venture party, you're traveling with people, or you're, like, that is your time to talk, plan, recoup.
Strategize. Have a meal. Exactly.
And that's an important thing. I think sometimes that gets lost because people are maybe focus on other things. But that also depends on your group. Like, some groups are, like, very much, they're not role-play heavy. It's about the combat. It's about the dungeon crawl. And if you guys don't do, you know, you're running something like ultra survival, you're in a deep dungeon, maybe you don't realistically have, like, an hour to, like, short rest, and you are pushing it to the limit. And that's, you know, that's DM and story dependent. But
So, speaking on the DM side of things with this book, the one thing that they covered in Three Black Halflings that I really liked is that they have like a DM section where they're changing some of the monsters that you will be facing at some point or another, or if you don't, I don't know, that set up. Like, say a monster gets certain spell slots and so on and so forth, they're going to be phasing that out, and these monsters will get, okay, I can use two of these, three of these, one of these, and then you have, you know, your legendary actions and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. That helps out DMs far beyond.
Oh, my gosh, so much. So it's like, oh, if I have an archmage that you guys have to face, I don't have to worry about spell slots. It's just he knows these spells, and he can cast each one of them X amount of times per day. And that's it.
And that's it.
I mean, yes, it's less versatility, which is sometimes can be frustrating, but it's easier for me as a DM to ad lib and say, oh, he can also do this, as opposed to I then have to essentially run a full PC during a fight.
Right, like, which, bro, fuck that.
I don't want to do that.
You've
got a lot to do. Yeah. You don't, if that's one less thing, it's like, you know what, if you want to homebrew and do all the extra stuff, I love the amount that it allows you to do, and I think I've said this before, I'm not a huge homebrew person, just because that time commitment and being able to focus on that, which is why I run all the adventures I've ever run are from the books, with the exception of the one shot we did for people,
which was fantastic, honestly.
And
on the fly,
even that I stole, you know that one of the best advice I've gotten, not as a not just as a DM, but in other creative things, is steal it, but make it your own.
Right.
And that's the best advice I've gotten as a creative.
So one last thing I'm going to touch on to your end, and then we're going to kind of go into Pogo real quick, because it's just news style stuff.
Yep.
The one last thing, as the other end of it, which you can ask this guy, I've done the complete homebrew. I'm making my own campaign. Here's the storyline. Here's the fucking pantheon. Here's even demons and stuff like that. Holy shit. Like, no, sometimes I wish I got into the books and I was a better reader, but, you know, whatever. That was the other thing about this. The starter book, starter set that came out, the newer one, which is off of, not the Sword Coast, but
it's the yeah, it's Dragons of Storm Coast,
yes,
or something,
something like that,
which launches at the end of this month, Target exclusive that first month or so, month or 2 month, and then goes everywhere, I believe, in September, October.
Right.
So
I'm gonna
keep your eyes out for that.
I'm gonna say this for those people that are like, I don't know if I want to DM, or you're thinking about DMing. Grab this, get this. It will have the new setup where you will have like those spells and stuff like that. Will make your life a hell of a lot easier, because honestly, researching on every fucking individual goddamn monster to put in your fucking campaign is a pain in the balls. And then you got a retcon when you figure out, oh, I can't use that because, well, that isn't going to fit in this situation.
Speaking of things to pick up, and we talked about this before we started recording, for a simple thing like that, I was telling these guys before we started, I've binge-watched just about all of Stranger Things in the past 3 weeks.
That's right.
I went hard on that. The new, not new, it's been out for a while now, the campaign based on the campaign from Stranger Things, it's a one shot compared to stuff in the starter set that'll give you a number of sessions. It's a single one shot. It comes with pre-gen characters. It's a perfect way to introduce players, and everything's like way more simply laid out, less hardcore on the rules, because it's just based on the ideas of the kids playing. And I'd highly suggest that if you're looking to DM and you don't want a commitment, it's like, all right, you can break this out, get ready to play in like 45 minutes and run it for like a couple hours.
Yeah.
It's enough of a taste to be like, all right, do I like this? Do I not? And so good. So good.
And yeah, we'll get onto it on the second half, but I just wanted to touch on Pogo real quick. Pokemon Go is doing the Season of Go right now. if you don't know and you don't play, then you can skip ahead to our commercial and then after our commercial, because I know everybody skips that. So, real quick, there are rumors at the end of this month that we will be seeing the Hisui region coming up. It is not confirmed by Niantic. Actually, it was a mistake that got leaked a little bit about the Hisuian Cup for battles, for, you know, the Pokemon Go League battle cups and stuff like that. so there may or may not be the Hisui region, but we're more than 50% sure that this is going to be the case. Also, this month is pretty loaded for Legendary Raid Pokemon. Right now, currently, as of this week, we are getting Articuno. Next week is Zapdos. The week after is Moltres. And at the end of the month, it will be Dialga. Okay? So, which kind of maybe points to the Hisui origin form that might come about if that is the case. We're hoping. We don't know yet. We'll see.
we also had the Pokemon Go set released for the Pokemon TCG.
Yes, that was out. Yes, and
maybe it's already come out at this point.
It came out because the past 2 weeks was Pokemon Go trading card game 2 week thing for Pokemon Go. So
that's also out. So if you're not an avid Go player, but maybe you play the TCG, or maybe you're just a collector on the side because you also play Go, pick that up. That looks pretty interesting. I've seen one here. It looks like there's like a commemorative pin, and there's possibly one for each of your teams. So you can grab some cool promos and maybe a sweet pin to rep your team.
So, real quick, I have a little gripe, and you're going to be like, motherfucker, you got another one. Connor, this guy right here. I got another 4-star. Another 4-star.
Bro.
It's an event 4-star, so it can't evolve. It's a fucking Pikachu with the TCG fucking hat on. I hate the fucking thing.
Can we stop with the event Pikachus?
Oh, like, my God.
Not just in Go. Like, it's especially egregious in Go. But, like, also in, like, the main series games. Like, come on.
Yeah, really?
I get it. It's a mascot.
Oh, but like, or chill. Every electric fucking mouse type. Every generation has its own electric mouse type. Fuck off with that shit. Nobody cares. Like, literally, nobody really fucking cares. Like, okay, we got Plusle. We got two in Gen 2. Like, what the fuck is that? Yeah. And they don't do shit. Yeah,
that's what to say. They just don't even see them and no one uses them.
Yeah. Emolga. Who gives a shit?
They also do the same thing with water types. Like, I get it. The ocean's vast. And so we don't know everything that's in there in the real world. But, like, just these random throwaway, just no evolution water types they just chuck in there. It's like, come on.
Right.
I get it. Like, to fresh out your world, not everything needs to be competitive. But, like, don't just put something out there to fill it.
Yeah.
Because, like,
there's a filler. Corsola.
Slot.
Corsola is definitely one.
That's at least a cool design.
It is a cool design. But
I'm thinking more something like Love Disc.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Love Disc. What the fuck am I? Well, I'll say this.
Literally, they exist just to give you heart scales, which are way too much of a difficult commodity for their use.
I'll say this. What was it? Basculin, at least it's getting an evolution.
Oh, yeah, that Bascule Legion looks so cool.
Oh, it is so cool. It looks awesome.
I honestly loved... I loved playing Legends Arceus. It was a really good game. It's very different. I wouldn't say that I would go and replay it, but, like, pretty solid.
And the last thing... I put in here... You know what? Fuck it. I'll put it in at the second half. All right, guys. We'll be right back. Yeah, we're back.
Alrighty.
Fuck you, Connor.
Damn.
Coming out swinging there. While y'all figure that out, how about I give a little bit of news? So this past week there was a mini Nintendo Direct partner showcase with Capcom.
Oh shit.
And Capcom announced another Mega Man Legacy Collection, and I know we've had so many of them. We've had some for the X series. We've had it for the Mega Man Zero series. We've had it the classic Mega Man series a couple times. But the first time we're getting a Legacy Collection for one of my favorite incarnations, actually probably my absolute favorite incarnation of Mega Man, which is a hot take, is the Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collection.
Huh.
Battle Network was a series that existed on the Game Boy Advance and just into the DS era. And it's a more of an RPG element compared to your side-scrolling action. This is an RPG/card battle system. And
interesting.
It's going to have 10 games in this. A number of them are the dual versions of... 3 through 6. So starting in Battle Network 3, they started doing two versions like Pokemon did, kind of playing off of that collection element and some of the different bosses. So there's a number of duplicates in there, but it's going to be the full series of Battle Network 1 through 6. It looks like there's going to have, I'm hoping there's going to be some form of revamp, and that they're actually making them kind of reformatted and update the graphics as opposed to an emulator port, which sometimes we've gotten a little bit of each in the previous Legacy collections. But this is the first time that any of them are getting redistributed. There may have been a couple that were on like the Nintendo's, not the eShop, but the virtual console.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Possibly for the Wii, there might have been. But this is otherwise going to be the first retread we've got of this series, and it's one of my absolute favorites. That is set to come out early or mid next year. So get excited for that. If you're a Mega Man fan, this will be a great chance to experience the series. If you've not experienced it before, and if you're not a Mega Man fan, but you're a fan of RPGs and anything that's got like a card battle system, I definitely recommend checking this out. It's also a completely different take on the Mega Man story, where in the original Mega Man, you've got the story of following technology developing through robots, which we all fucking love robots. They're super cool. But this...
That's why I'm playing a fucking Warforged. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Looked at if the Mega Man world developed through computer technology as opposed to robots and was like very ahead of its time in the idea that everything, I think we talked about this, that everything was, you know, more computer technology and connected to the internet.
It was kind of like Tron almost.
Yes. Where, you know, it's really interesting because it's so ahead of its time coming out. In like that 2001 was the first where the first one came out, and the idea that in the first one you're introduced to things like your appliances being connected to the internet, which was like in 2001, like That's a crazy idea. Like, why is my washing machine and my refrigerator connected to the internet? Now,
yeah, hold on.
Just go to Lowe's or Home Depot. You can get one that, oh, I can I can check the, you know, if my freezer is dying and the temperature drops, I can get a notification on my phone. Like, that's not far-fetched now. That is, you know, it's still like rich people technology.
No, but not really, because no, right now I can change the temperature on my air conditioner right now in my room.
Yeah.
Freeze Sarah out of there.
Well, it's already on ice negative cold, 10.
So for that kind of stuff, so it's very interesting because those, you know, at that time, obviously ahead of its time, the idea of things being connected to the internet or like, oh, your car has a computer chips in it to help control the functionality of things, which was not as commonplace 20-something years ago. And now,
shit, even 10 years ago.
We had productions that you couldn't get new cars because they couldn't get the computer chips they needed.
Right, right.
Like,
I mean, yeah.
It's really cool.
2012, you would be like, nah, fuck that. There's no fucking way I'd do that. And now it's like 2022, just 10 years. Yeah. It's like, does this have Wi-Fi capability or Bluetooth capability? If it doesn't, I don't want it.
Yeah, and the idea that, like, Mega Man in this, he's not a robot. They're what they call net navvies, which are personalized computer programs to help you find things and interact with the internet. I know I'm going to set this off for someone, but, you know, hey Siri, hey Google.
Alexa.
Personalized. Alexa. But personalized? Oh, wait. They do that with your targeted ads. An ad you probably just listened to, or maybe you just skipped over.
Alexa, play Rage Game Network podcast.
Wow. But they're already listening.
Exactly. In order to
and also, they're already listening. I'm not crazy. You're crazy.
There's more truth behind that than you would think.
So that's the one news thing I wanted to point out because I just love that franchise. So keep your eyes out for information on that. The other news story I came across, oddly enough, this is coming from Business Insider. This is great. This is the ultimate fanboy moment. Diehard Nintendo fan spent $40,000 to buy Nintendo stock so they could go to a stock meeting. And they somehow ended up being able to get questions of people on the board, and they specifically wanted to know, when are we getting another F-Zero game?
Never.
So I think that's great. Like, the idea that, like, so he spent, this would have been 5.6 million yen, which is about over $40,000 US, on a block of Nintendo stock, which would have been 100 shares, which got them entry into the shareholder meetings. As long as they have like a company, if you own a certain percentage, you can actually then attend some of the meetings as opposed to just, you know, the normal, you know, emails or stuff like that. So he bought a whole bunch back in February and ended up going to attend a meeting and was lucky enough to ask a question of them. And he was just kind of quoted saying, I've been playing Nintendo games since I was a kid and F-Zero has just always been my favorite. So it was great to be able to ask that of the people of the company and to kind of like know that I'm part owner in this.
Yeah, cool. And honestly, I think realistically from their point of view, first of all, you had to have a lot of fucking money just to jump on the stockholders, you know.
I guess he sold stock they had in another company, so he probably had decent money.
Right.
But
I don't see how that would be a bad thing to have more people actually be voiced in certain things like that. We've talked about this plenty of times. Which, I mean, that's kind of why I like Minecraft. They listen to a lot of the people's voices. However, there was some stuff on Java Edition that we'll go over in a minute here. But I will say, we're Okay. Sorry. Were you done?
Yeah, that's about all I had. I just thought that was a cool story that, like, he, you know, and that, like, his motivation for buying the stock and wanting to go to the meeting was, like, I've just loved these games for all the time. And, like, you know what? I want to invest in this company. And it was a nice bonus to be able to ask about one of my favorite franchises and be like, hey, when are you going to make another? And they didn't really give a straight answer when they were asked because, you know, it's like, it's tough. There's a lot of franchises. Nintendo has a number of franchises. And, yeah, they bank primarily on things like Mario and Zelda. But, you know, sometimes it is tough to figure out what's the next one going to be that we can actually make it
right
worthwhile. But, you know, just nice to have, you know, people to shine on some of their favorite franchises that might not be the most popular in that end. But, like, I don't think we haven't gotten a new F-Zero game that's shown here since 2004. So we're coming up on nearly 20 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a space racing game. Like,
yeah,
most of the race, you know, if they're doing a new racing game, they're just throwing another, you know, they're throwing out another Mario Kart.
Right, right.
But there's, looks like, you know, there's passionate fans for playing a franchise.
Oh, yeah. So I was saying Minecraft. Minecraft got one of their newer updates. I don't remember exactly when it happened, but we finally got the Deep Dark. And that warden is a son of a bitch. I haven't gotten to face it, thankfully, but watching from multiple different YouTubers that usually face things and, like, the wither and just, like, foo-foo that off, they will not do that with this. The warden is a motherfucker. And they said, if you can get it on the ground, like, on the actual, like, above ground thing, you have a better advantage of taking care of it. But in the Deep Dark, that's its element. You will be fucked up if you try and tangle with this thing. However, a little bit of a lighter note on that one. We got our mangrove swamps and our frogs. The fireflies are not coming. From what I understand, there will not be fireflies.
Lame.
Yeah, a little lame, but hey, I can see that where that could be kind of an issue because taking up space and, you know, if there's a bunch of them in one area, the lag.
Yeah.
Also, there are update stuff that are coming out that the community is completely pissed about. For Bedrock Edition, it's been out for a little while, but now Java is looking at the chance of reporting players from messages on the game. Yes. And it looks for right now that servers can turn in on and off this feature, but that was thanks to Xbox buying the rights to Mojang to keep it alive, essentially. Xbox Live. So now that that's happening, we may or may not see a huge decrease in player base because of, well, either being kicked or banned from their favorite servers just from trolls, essentially. This could really, really hurt Minecraft, and I don't know how you feel about it, but I don't like the idea.
I don't like the idea, but at the same time, we would just play on our own server, so.
Yeah. And I think for those people that usually play together on their own servers, you're not going to have much of an issue, but more of like a public server. Like,
I used to play on them a lot.
Yeah. We could probably see huge problems really
quickly.
I don't
know too many people that play on public servers. It's mostly private servers with friend groups, and if they do anything that's public, it's usually something sponsored by like a Minecraft YouTuber or something like that, and it's
right.
their community. And at that point, it's like, yeah, if you're choosing to be part of that and that's connected to somebody's YouTube or Twitch, and that's, you know, they're going to have to protect that to, you know, protect their fandom right. and their money streams, which, you know,
and
you gotta kind of gotta respect that. It's, and I'm sure they already have that with banning people ends up because of trolls, but
And honestly, the problem with it that a lot of the community has a problem with is it will not be under review of the server owner. It will be under review of Xbox and Mojang.
Oh, yeah.
So this is...
So it's just have... so it's just an on-off. Either it's on
or
and,
it's...
Yeah.
Yep, yeah. So now you can see where the problem lies. Yeah. But they said that we will weed through most of these problems, and they said obvious false negatives are not an, you know, not a thing that will you'll be seeing as much, but they said we cannot.
That sounds like a lie from my experiences with Facebook and Instagram, but
this is where it gets bad. They can't promise false positives. That they said that something could slip through the crack where somebody gets kicked or banned from a server because of something like that, because they cannot take the liability of it happening.
Exactly.
So, in other words, please be careful. Make sure you're going to more of a reputable server or a server you know these people either in person or you have been playing with them for years. Because public servers...
You off now. Can't trust you.
I gotta reload the server, but we got to get back on because there's some cool shit that's... Yeah. So, in other words, people, yeah, just be careful on Minecraft. And our... little bit of something I wanted to talk about is Steam Deck. Steam Deck for us, we should be seeing them coming available for order fairly shortly here. It said July. It is now July, beginning week of July. They probably won't say anything until probably... around the time me and Connor ordered them, pre-ordered them last year, which was for me July 18th, 2021, and he said 2 days previous to that.
Yeah, mine was the 16th.
So we probably won't be able to actually put our orders down until midway through the month at the latest in September. So, I mean, hopefully soon. And hopefully we get them soon, because I want to play. yeah. Oh, my God. I think I will have more games that I will play, like Sea of Thieves. I'm looking to play that, because I think that would be awesome to play. Some of the racing games I'm missing out on. On here, like Forza, I would totally play Forza on this. And yeah, oh my God, I'm so excited. Or even better, we could download the game you were showing for the game of the week, and we would all have that set up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd that be would great. Be dope.
It would be.
Anything else you want to talk about there, Connor?
Don't think so.
No? Oh, well, shit, we might have an early episode.
I mean, plenty of things to talk about if you want to fill time. I don't,
yeah.
I also don't want to just, like, talk about stuff while y'all sit here, but I've been, as many of y'all know, I've jumped back on the Yu-Gi-Oh! Train.
Yes.
And have been playing pretty regularly locally at one of our local game shops, Millennium. And I've been, speaking of up-and-coming things, I have been looking at new sets and stuff that are coming out. We've got a new set dropping in August, Power of the Elements. And there seems like there are going to be a lot of changes coming up. I've been paying attention to what I've been seeing at our local scene. This past summer, past few weeks, we've had nationals for Europe, South America. We're coming up on U.S. nationals.
Oh, no, sure.
Coming up soon. And then we've got a little bit of a lull for the rest of the summer before the next season starts up in the fall. And there's a lot of cool stuff going on. A lot of new decks are kind of changing the current climate of the game, or the metagame, if you will. So I guess the one thing I'll go all in on, and this is going to sound really campy, but as the summer is heating up, the best way is to cool off with some water. And there's a lot of strategies related to the water type of monsters that have been showing up lately. It's kind of crazy. I love that they planned to drop all these water things in the summer, but it's like, as summer heats off, like, yo, cool it down. We just got a new, what they call a deck builder set. It's not a full, like, 100-card set. It's focused particularly on a theme, and it's a smaller set, and it's Legendary Duelists. I believe it's something Abyss, or Duel from the Depths. I don't remember. It's water-themed, and the cover art features from the original Duelist Kingdom art, Mako Tsunami, if you're a fan the original anime. And we've got some support for a water type called Marincess. We've got reprints of a number of the sharks, if you're a fan of that archetype. So two of those are going to be hot contenders coming up. We've also, in Power of the Elements, we've got a new archetype called Splites that are coming out, and the support archetype that a lot of people in Japan have been using are, funny enough, as you brought this up in Minecraft, is frogs.
No shit.
So, frogs, a whole bunch of level 2 water monsters that combine really nicely with this new archetype. So, I just thought it was really cool that as things heat up, the coolest strategies are the water strategies pulling out for the summer. And I don't know. It's campy, but I absolutely love it.
It is campy as hell.
It's one of the archetypes that I absolutely loved when I was playing semi-competitively back in high school. I actually brought a water deck to a regionals in Toronto back in like 2006.
Holy shit.
So it's kind of cool to see support for those themes come back around. I think I was just
a freshman the end of 2006.
Yeah. So I think this was over like spring break. This junior year. And I convinced my parents to take me and a bunch of my friends up to Toronto for a weekend.
That's crazy.
It was such a great time. So I don't know. I'm excited about where the game's going. With all sorts of new things. I've just finished completing a new deck I was working on for an archetype called Exo Sisters.
Yes. Yeah, you were telling us about that originally.
Yeah, so I've been playing Sky Strikers. And so as I've come back to the game, like, I hate to be that dude, but like, I've fallen into those people that run the waifu type strategies. And Exo Sisters is a new one. Well, not new. They came out a few sets back, but they're going to start seeing some more competitive play. And I decided to get on that early before prices on all those cards start going up.
Yeah.
And it's a really cool strategy. And all the artwork they're nuns who fight against the undead.
There you go.
There you go. And I think probably one of the favorite things, I saw a thread on somebody's Discord for deck building. And the title of the thread was, "Let's talk about nuns with guns." So, so if you need a selling point of, you know, a deck to build, nuns with magical weapons that face the undead, and it works around getting special effects when your opponent utilizes effects in the graveyard, which will be pretty prevalent with a few different sets coming out. So it's been fun. A lot of cool things coming out there. I'll maybe try to start posting regularly in the gaming Discord about kind of results of things going on locally. Because I don't know. I think it's fun. I'd love to get more people in the community interested in chatting in that to talk strategy.
I can set up a channel for Yu-Gi-Oh! Yeah. If you want.
Yeah, I was about to say we can...
Yu-Gi-Oh! Magic or... Put up TCG.
Yeah, TCG.
Trading card games.
Magic has also been seeing a lot of new stuff. We've had a couple of new sets come out with that. Love to hear more about what people are interested in on that front, too.
Well, I mean, look, we even Pokemon got their own new stuff out, too. So, I mean, realistically, everybody's got a little bit of something going on. And then we don't follow it as much, but I bet you... Digimon's got something going on too.
Yeah, their new foray into the TCG has been pretty hot. The past couple months when I've been going to play Yu-Gi-Oh, there's usually a couple tables there of people playing Digimon. I don't know if they've got tournaments going up there yet, but it's like Thursday nights. They've got Modern for Magic, and there's Yu-Gi-Oh, and there's usually a couple Digimon. There's also a new, as the pace is starting to pick up, it's not so much new, but Dragon Ball Super card game is picking up. There's I met a guy the other night. They run events out of the store at Buffalo, and he drove out to play Yu-Gi-Oh with some friends, and he bought a whole case of the latest Dragon Ball Super set that came out. I sat down, we talking trading and stuff like that. And like, yeah, I think he bought a case because I think he had like 8 or 10 boxes that he bought.
No shit.
And he said that's been pretty popular. So it seems like TCGs are
kicking really up
kind of popping off. And we've seen that with the collector's market, you know, starting during the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah, so. eBay's got their collector's vault for cards now.
Yeah.
Which is pretty big. I saw an ad about it, and basically, like, it looks like, you know, they targeted it towards, you know, the baseball cards and the football cards and basketball card stuff. But realistically, I don't doubt that they got some Pokemon
and Yu-Gi-Oh is where it's at right now for collectors.
Since
I got back into playing, I started buying archetypes that I have zero intention of ever actually building and playing the decks of, either because it's not my style of play or it's straight up not good, but because I love the artwork, I've started to collect in some more. There's some really cool stuff. I started getting... In the last set that we opened when we did our little opening game, the Dinomorphias, they're like dinosaur machine things. Like, definitely has like an early Rangers vibe to it. And I was like, I would never play this strategy, but I love their artwork. They've really stepped it up. They're beautiful,
yeah. Because that was one of the ones I opened up.
Yep, you opened that. And then I think Sarah opened that Blue Eyes Jet Dragon.
Yep, yep.
Love the art on that. So
I guess that's pretty much a wrap in this case. Yeah. But a little bit of a thought process while we were talking about TCGs. I do think Digimon is gonna sneak up on us and just be like the next thing too.
I hope so. I would love to see more TCGs pop off. And kind of the last thing I'll say, I like TCG, as I've seen a couple that have come and gone. Wizards tried to do a Transformers TCG a couple years ago. I got super into that, and then like the following summer it completely died off. It's like they didn't push it super hard, but like they have Magic and they have D&D. Like Wizards Hasbro like already has they've got the stamp on those markets, so they don't really need to push anything. No. But like, it was a really cool idea. It was like,
yeah.
Transformers, like, especially for our generation who love TCGs and are getting more into them and grew up on Transformers. And like the Dragon Ball Super, that's a new, they killed off a previous version of a game and brought this in. So I'm hoping to see more things like come into circulation in the same way. You could even save with like D&D is being popular, but we're, you know, try to get some of those other, and I know most of the other number of other podcast stuff will push other systems. So I guess this is my PSA to be like, yo, check out those things that maybe aren't just
yeah.
the big names. Pick up that Digimon TCG if you've been interested in it. Maybe pick up a module for Pathfinder 2.0.
I didn't know Pathfinder 2.0 came out.
Yeah, it's been out. People are kind of on it. Some people are. It's the same with like how 3.5 was. There were a lot of people. Not 3.5. Four. There are a lot of people that just stuck with 3.5. Or they.
That would have been me.
Or they jumped to Pathfinder during 4. I feel like 2.0 is the same thing. Is you've got people who've just stuck with original Pathfinder. You've got people jumping ship to 5th edition as it's getting ready to transform into 5.5.
And, yeah, I'm thinking if that happens, Pathfinder, who knows what'll happen, but...
They did announce that they are going to start making some modules that are compatible with 5th edition now.
No shit.
Which, interestingly enough, is where they got their start before creating Pathfinder.
Yeah. Because
they were originally
D&D.
Just making D&D modules.
Yeah. The most of the guys on Pathfinder were... the 3.5 guys.
Yeah. And then they did their own thing.
And once Wizards bought D&D. So
cool stuff.
Continuing on, actually ending this episode.
We always do this.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the fact that we were playing D&D like right after we wrap this up, I would say like I always say like you want to just do another one, like
yeah, I would love to, but like
I feel like
we're getting to 5 o'clock tonight. And
yeah, I feel
we
like
want to play.
I'm with recording with you guys, like that guy at the bar who's like, nah, just one more shot,
just one more drink. Come on, man, one more drink. It's all right, you'll be fine.
And then 6 hours later, you're
fucking slosh. All right, so everybody. RageGameNetwork.com is where it's at. You know the website. I say it every time. Go get yourself a t-shirt. Go to the Discord and follow us. We have a D&D channel. We have a general channel of talking about stuff on our podcasts.
Gaming. I think you put up a PC channel.
Yes. We put up a PC chat.
Yeah.
Channel. I'll put up a trading card game channel. I love this, man. Straight up on top of it.
Yeah.
Other than those V-necks, my dude. So we'll bug Connor some more about that V-neck, and I'm going to throw on my Bigfoot Hawaiian shirt, and you guys can follow us on our Instagram, Facebook, wherever you can find us, that is on the website, you know, and pick up some merchandise and
drop a rating on iTunes and Spotify.
Oh, please, please, yes, drop some ratings, guys, because if you're listening to it, obviously you love it, and that will help out getting the algorithm.
If you're, even if you're listening and you hate it, like,
yeah,
the views still count.
Yeah, yeah. We got a penny per listen here, so if you're helping us out in some way, shape, or form.
Appreciate it.
We appreciate that. It's taken a lot to get to $36. So, I mean, you know. However, guys, if you rage it, we game it.
Bye.
Laters.
See ya.